Good morning. Trust you're having a good morning, and thank you for the worship team. I just want to remind you, on April the 4th is the kickoff event for the Will Graham event series of events. So that's happening at the Alliance Church. It's a Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Will Graham is coming, and we'll be unveiling, or all the stuff will be unveiled for all the opportunities that come with it. There's a lot of training opportunities that come actually before the events in November. So for evangelism and discipleship training, it's called the Christian Life of Witness classes that they'll be having at various times and locations. So check that out. There, you have a poster on your bulletin board, and there's a website there. You can check that out for all the details. I have a bunch of invitations, but sadly, I realized this morning, they're at my office, not at home. So I'm giving you a personal invitation. Well, this morning I'm going to be talking from Luke chapter 19, focusing mostly on verses 41 to 44. Andrea read the verses earlier where we remember Palm Sunday and the celebration as Christ came toward Jerusalem. And so people were throwing their cloaks before the donkey and getting them rolled over there, waving palm branches, and they're shouting, "Hail the King!" And they're celebrating this big party. And then some of the Pharisees tell Jesus to rebuke his disciples, and he says, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." But then picking up the verses from there, it says, "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.'" Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, please guide my words and open our hearts to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, some of you have organized birthday parties for your children, or maybe some of you have attended a birthday party, and it all starts off great. It's so exciting. The birthday boy or girl has got their friends coming over, they got games going on, they got the cake, they got their favorite foods, and they're just having a great time. Then the presents come, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful time, and the child is having this incredible experience, and then all of a sudden, something happens. Maybe the child is tired, gets bumped the wrong way or whatever. All of a sudden, the tears come, and we all know the party's over. Well, it's a little bit like that on Palm Sunday. We have this incredible procession happening, and people are shouting, and they're praising the God, saying, "Hail the King, the King is coming." And they're using the palm fronds, and they're throwing their cloaks. And it's just this big party as this entourage comes from Bethany down toward Jerusalem. But then, all of a sudden, when they get to the outskirts of Jerusalem, all of a sudden, the party's over. And instead of this great exaltation and everybody excited, we see Jesus weeping. The guest of honor is crying. The word here is not for like this. It's like wailing. And then he goes on to say, "Oh, if you had known that this day was for your peace." And then he starts to talk about how down the road sometime, and it actually turned out to be about 40 years down the road, the Romans circled the city in AD 70, and it was a total destruction of the city, a slaughter of the people. It was a horrible, horrible thing. You can read about it in history books. And Jesus is looking ahead and said, "Oh, if you had only known. If only you had known." So why was it on that day, with all this incredible opportunity did the people turn away? Why did the party turn into tears? So we'll explore that a little bit this morning. I think a lot of it had to do with the whole issue of authority. I'm going to talk a little bit about authority here. You know, when you look through the book of Luke, you will find this word, authority, mentioned a lot. I'll give you some examples of the authority word used and also demonstrations of Christ's authority. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 36, or 31 to 36, it's used a couple times. Verse 32, it says, they were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. Different than the Pharisees and scribes that come and say, well, we think so-and-so thought this, and so-and-so thought this, and this is what was thought, and this was the law that was coming. So Jesus came and said things with authority. And then a little later, it says in verse 36, with authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out. This was a whole new thing. People, by and large, were living in the torment of evil spirits, those who had them. And it was kind of a powerless situation. You just kind of put up with it. But Jesus comes on the scene, speaks a word, and the spirits are gone. It's authority that he gives to us to use, by the way. And one of the most wonderful things that I've enjoyed in ministry is seeing some people come to great peace because of spirits being dealt with. But Jesus comes on the scene. He has authority in teaching. He has authority over the demonic realm. We see in chapter 8, he has authority over nature. You know, he's in the boat with the disciples and they're afraid of drowning. And he said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided and all was calm. All of a sudden, he has authority over the demonic realm, but he also has authority over nature. That's a lot of authority. Storm, be silent, and all was calm. So just think of the peace that came to all these people who were demonized and their families. This wonderful peace came. Here he is, it's the storm. He speaks, and peace comes. My dad was quite reticent to talk about his personal experience of faith. He read the Bible for us every day, pretty much. But one story he told me, or told us, was it was seeding time, planting time on the farm. And we were a small operation. My dad had a 12-foot drill, or seeder. And so how many times do you have to go up and down a field to get a crop planted on a big field? So some of our crops got in just under the wire. And I remember one year he was working on this one field, and it was time. That seed needed to be in the ground. And a storm was coming, and he told how he prayed, and that storm kind of went around. But that was the authority of Christ in action through prayer. But Jesus has this incredible authority. We also see him having authority over nature. It's the 5 and 2 plan on the feeding the 5,000. 5 loaves, 2 fish. He brought peace to hungry stomachs that day. He was always using authority to bring peace. Then there's injury and disease. Luke 7 talks about the centurion and his servant, who the centurion was paralyzed. And this centurion understood the authority of Jesus, and he says, you don't even have to come to my house, just say the word. Jesus marveled at his faith. But it was starting to click with him. This guy's got authority. And so he accessed that authority by faith. And he brought peace to a suffering servant and the concerned household. Again, he's using his authority to bring peace. We see his authority in particular. It's not recorded in Luke, but it's recorded in John and other places, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now that takes some authority, don't you think? Mary and Martha are just absolutely beside themselves with grief. And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And out he comes, all wrapped up in the bandages. That's authority. But think of the peace that came to that family because he exercised authority. So when we see the sweep of the book of Luke, we see Jesus coming with his authority, speaking, demonized, sick, paralyzed, hungry, nature, storms, even death. He has authority over it all. And he's always bringing peace to situations. Yet he comes to Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, and the party fizzles out. Well, we get a clue of why that is in verse 39 of Luke chapter 19. You know, the people are saying, "Blessed is the king." Remember that word, "blessed is the king." And the Pharisees say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." In other words, tell them to quiet down. We don't want this talk about a king happening here, and we certainly don't want to respond to the king. You see, actually, after this, I believe it's the next morning, but Jesus went to the temple courts, and he started to clean house. People were buying and selling and so on. And so they started to get a little upset about this. By the way, if you look in the book of John, there's some passages that talk about this after in John chapter 11, where Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead, and all kinds of people start to believe in him. And the leadership group gets very upset about this. And they're saying, if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. So Jesus is exercising authority. He's bringing peace to this situation, that situation, that situation, that situation. And the people in leadership are really ticked, because Jesus is a threat to their place and to their authority. They've got a good thing going on. They're the people in charge of the whole nation, really. And they were making a lot of bucks down at the temple. They had a lot of stuff in place. And so, even though Jesus was using his authority for peace, they were not so excited about that. So, the leadership did not want to lose their place. The leadership did not want to submit to his authority. In Luke chapter 20, just following verses, starting verse 1. One day Jesus was teaching in the people in the temple courts and proclaiming the good news, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him and said, "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things. Who gave you this authority?" They are questioning his authority, and they don't want to go along with it. We're going to be the boss around here. So when Jesus came near Jerusalem and the place of their authority and power, the party fizzled. And Jesus wept not for his own agenda, like a spoiled child at a birthday party maybe, but he wept that people would miss out on the peace that was available if they embraced him as their king. So the lesson I want to bring to you this morning is this. When we keep Jesus out of our lives, we lose our peace. When we resist his authority over our lives, we lose our peace. This was an Old Testament principle, Isaiah 54, where it says, "All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace." In other words, if your children are responding to the principles of God, peace will come to their life. In another place, he writes, "Oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river." We live in the Peace River country. But God is saying, your peace would have been like a river if you had listened. But all through Scripture, we see the Jewish nation on this cycle, listening, stopping listening, submitting to the authority of God, and then not. And whenever they decided not to, they lost their peace. Sooner or later, their country would be invaded. Sooner or later, their lives would be in chaos. And it's not that Jesus is trying to enforce, he's their offering, but the principle is, when we bow to the kingship and lordship of Christ, peace will come. So, I don't know about you, but I find that our country is losing its peace. Every day you read in the, there's a demonstration about something somewhere. This is different than it used to be. There's always been issues to deal with, but by and large, we've had a very peaceful country, but we are losing our peace. And on our parliament buildings, it says, "He shall have dominion from sea to sea." There has been that acknowledgement in our country. I feel we are losing our peace. But this applies to families, marriages. Recently, working with a gentleman who, at this point, I think only knows Christ at a distance, but the peace has been lost. And then, individually, when there is a loss of peace, often it comes from an area of our life where we're not submitted to the lordship of Christ. We're not saying, "Jesus, you be king over this area." I know that when I was standing against the lordship of Christ, I personally did not have a lot of peace. And before I acknowledged him as my Lord and Savior, I had great guilt, great wrestling with things, great anxiety about that kind of stuff. But when I trusted Christ to take away my sin, June 30th, 1980, I remember the great peace. And that principle reaches into the different areas of our life. So my friends, on this morning, this Palm Sunday morning, we remember a great party that kind of fizzled. And the reason simply was that people didn't want Jesus to be their king. And we learn a principle for our lives, that when we acknowledge the lordship of Christ, there will be a corollary experience of peace that flows out of that. Are you at peace this morning? I just encourage you to pray. Maybe you know someone who isn't at peace. Very likely, part of the issue that's holding them back from experiencing the peace of Christ is they don't want to give over the authority. So pray against that stronghold, especially as we think of the Will Graham thing coming. Is there someone you're praying for? But the Lord Jesus, he has all authority. You know, Revelation tells us, you read Revelation chapter 1, Jesus is going to come back from heaven and he's going to reveal himself as King of kings and Lord of lords. And then it says, all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Why are they mourning? Because they missed the chance to find the peace that comes through Christ. So, celebrate like we like to love to do on Palm Sunday. I was expecting Calvin to come with palm branches this morning, but I guess it didn't happen. Celebrate. But no, Jesus came, and he has all authority, but he uses that authority to bring us peace. God bless you.
Thank you, Lyndon. I just invite you to stand with us as we close out and just give honor to our Lord. I'll sing this song, Majesty.